Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.
In PwC's new annual Global Chief Executive Officer survey, around 83% of CEOs in this country polled say they expect local economic growth to increase this year, while most economists are predicting something of an increase as well. The big consultancy goes on to say for Budget 2025 to work, it needs to be something that encourages the business community and to lift sentiment by providing an update on progress made in key economics and structural reforms, as well as more concrete solutions towards the country's energy and logistical challenges. The big question, of course, will the finance minister deliver on that Wednesday? Let's get a view from Lulu Kruchel, who is chief economist at PwC. Lulu, a very warm welcome to you. So PwC warning that fiscal budgets have a history of overestimating economic growth and expected revenues. I guess the question is, why should we trust the Treasury's projections this time? And what realistic growth rate should businesses be planning for?
Yeah, Jeremy, unfortunately, we tend to, and especially Treasury tends to, overestimate things on the positive end, expecting higher tax collections, lower debt levels and higher growth levels than we have unfortunately seen. A couple of years ago, I think it's about 2 or 3 years, we got it right. But before that, unfortunately, we didn't. So it creates a bit of a feeling of, should we trust these numbers, as you say? And I think our view is not that it would be complete dire straits, but, you know, it will probably be lower than if we look at the SARB's predictions at the moment of around 1.9%, probably towards the middle of the range between 1 and 2%, around 1.5% would probably be more realistic. Unfortunately, last year we also seem to have gotten it wrong, overestimating growth. And I think at the moment, there's just so many uncertainties. And yes, you can't always take the negative view on the uncertainties, but rather be prudent, be a little bit more prudent around debt, around expenditure, around growth, and get a clear message out there to the market.
Lulu, the single biggest problem I would contend is the rise in government debt. There are promises all the time of fiscal discipline, but deficits remain high. At what point do you think we face a full-blown debt crisis? And if it happens, what are the consequences?
Yeah, unfortunately, as you say, that's also something that is not, our debt levels haven't gone down to the levels we would have liked to. And again, it's about growth, about tax collections, and then unexpected expenditure that has been coming our way. If you look at the salary increases from government side, they didn't settle at the rates that they think they would settle, and it's been a few years in a row now. And combined with all of that, yes, it's maybe not such a big expenditure item, but if you look at the PEPFAR funding that we got from the US, you know, that's another hole that government needs to fill. So the social relief grant that the Gauteng High Court actually said, but you have to continue and you have to increase it. You know, so all these unexpected things, and we seem to not be planning for them, which is a little bit concerning for me, because if you think about, I mean, it's in essence a business that we're running and the government's running. We should have, there are some contingencies, but I think we should think through those more carefully. And as you say, full-blown debt crisis means that there are a lot of things that we really need that we won't be able to fund. If we are looking for additional funds, it will come at a higher cost. So it's like somebody defaulting on their, you know, on their home loan or other repayments. And also the signal that it will send to investors and to the market is you need to think twice before investing in South Africa.
So, Lulu, you talk about planning, which I think is very important. The government, in terms of that, is always talking about narrowing the deficit, reducing debt, yet the spending pressures, as you've just mentioned to me, keep rising. So, come budget day next Wednesday, are there key fiscal reforms that the minister needs to point to that need to be implemented to stop this financial bleeding?
Yeah, so I think we need transparency in terms of how certain of these surprises will be funded. If you think about something like the social relief grant, when it was initially introduced during COVID in 2020, the thinking was, when the message was, oh, this is only going to be temporary. And I suppose we all looked at it and realized this is going to be very difficult to turn around. So there's not been necessarily a clear roadmap to say, this is what we're going to do. This is what we're going to do by that point in time. If you think about an income grant, a basic income grant, there's been talk about that for so long. And in most people's view is that the social relief grant is kind of a, you know, a precursor and should have been a precursor for that. But we haven't had clarity. So social funding, in my opinion, is probably one of the areas where we really need transparency, clarity, and also plans about how are we going to turn around the reliance on some of these. I mean, I realize that, you know, we have such high unemployment rates and then employed poor in South Africa. So it's not just simply a case of let's remove these things. We cannot do that. But, you know, how are we really going to focus on creating confidence, business confidence? Because that's the job of fiscal policy, is to actually say, we create confidence so that you can invest and that we can grow the economy. We can't do that through government spending, but it's really about, you know, how are we bringing investors along on the journey.
It's common cause that there is weak state capacity. So what can government do to incentivize the private sector more to become involved in key infrastructure projects? And I don't need to say energy and logistics are where the focus needs to be. Can the minister point to any tax policies or regulatory shifts that could facilitate this?
Yeah, so I think over the last couple of months and years, we need to recognize that there's been a lot done, you know, with private sector and government working together on certain of these areas. I know that there's these task forces with the CEOs of some of the large companies involved, etc. So I think there's been good progress made there, and we cannot ignore that. What is just interesting for me is if you look at something like renewable energy and, you know, maybe water is energy is almost, I want to say, it's already, you know, we already there. The next big thing that's coming, and we know that it's not coming, it's with us already, is water. So for me, I would really like to see government say, how can we incentivize private sector? We seem to have an approach and a policy, and I understand partially where National Treasury is coming with that. But if you look at, for example, what Europe is currently doing, yes, they're stepping back on some of the regulation around carbon and energy, etc., but at the same time they're also incentivizing businesses. So that's the one thing. And the other thing that a lot of, you know, businesses have been complaining about is, yes, you introduce carbon taxes, yes, you introduce the plastic bag levered sugar taxes, but you refuse to actually focus that spending on the areas where that is needed. So that is also something that I'm hoping to see that we will get into.
No question, the stakes are very high and a lot to play for. Lulu Kruchel, thank you very much indeed. Chief Economist at PwC.
Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.